Welcome to the Gurr and Fangirl podcast, a podcast where we discuss pop culture and fandom. Each episode, we talk with celebrities, fans, and creators about their work in the media that inspires them. Now here's your host, the creator of the Squee Project, filmmaker, fangirl, and feminist, Hansi Oppenheimer.
Hey, it's Hansi, and today we're talking with Diana Prince, also known as Darcy the Mail Girl, on Joe Bob Briggs' Last Drive-In. We chat about working in the porn industry, the mystery of Joe Bob, and our mutual love of horror. And here she is, Darcy.
Hey, Darcy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Cool. Are you comfortable with Darcy or Diana, or what do you prefer?
Anything's fine. I get it by Diana like it's my real name, but if you want to call me Darcy, it's all good.
Okay. So how are you? Are you at Monsterpalooza this weekend?
I am not. I was working out of town, and I just got back a little while ago, and I'm too tired to mess with that.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, a lot of conning lately.
Yeah, I figure I go enough when I'm doing it for work that I can miss right now. Especially like 3 o'clock on a Sunday is not the ideal time to go.
Yeah, no. I guess I wasn't sure. I knew some folks. I knew Felissa was going to be there this weekend, so I wasn't sure if you guys were there as well. But
yeah, I wanted to talk to you about your love of horror, and so do you want to talk a little about like when your love of horror started? Like, do you remember?
I guess I was like around 10, and I had like a really huge crush on Corey Feldman, and so I wanted to watch anything he ever did. And I had previously tried to watch like Nightmare on Elm Street 1, and I could not. I like literally soaked the lights on for a year after that. actually, I must have even been a little older because I remember I saw Pet Sematary, maybe 12. Anyway, whatever it was when I had a crush on Corey Feldman, and I had to see Friday the 13th, part 4. It was like the last one at that time that I hadn't seen. I was like, I'm so scared, but I must watch. And it was the first horror movie I sat all the way through, and I was just like mesmerized. I like, those kids were so cool. I wanted to party with them and be like them when I grew up. And like, there were boobs, and it was like the excitement of Jason. And when I got all the way through it, I felt so like accomplished. So I was like, this is pretty rad. Let me dive into this more. And then it just kind of went from there.
So in through a fangirl crush, and then
yeah, exactly.
On, horror, like, fandom.
Little Corey Feldman, I had to see his old stuff.
He was adorable in his day. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah. I love the Frog Brothers, you know. It's really adorable.
Yeah,
with that, the Frog Brothers.
When I like officially fell in love with him, went back to his kid stuff.
and then. You've worked in horror, I mean, right, in addition to what you're doing now with Joe Bob, right? You've been doing some horror films.
Yeah. I mean, they're all really terrible, and I wouldn't recommend them, but I have done them.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for crappy movies, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, there's a lot of just crap, too.
Well, it's hard enough to make a film, you know, much less to make a really good film. I mean, I don't try not
true.
To judge, right? It's hard enough to get a group of people together and get anything shot, much less make
oh,
it
Lord,
really,
that's
really
very
good.
True. It's true, yeah. And props to anyone that tries, but, like, a lot of times they want me to, like, promote stuff, and I'm just like, I can't in good conscience say people should go watch this. I'm so sorry. It's kind of like Joe Ball with his Hogzilla. It's like, stay away from it.
Yeah, well, but, you know, he also likes to be a little bit of a shit stirrer there, too, like, because, you know, his whole thing with Shud, and, you know, he likes
oh,
to
yeah.
stir it up a little. Yeah, because I really liked Shud, you know, but I like Shud because it shows New York in the 70s, which is, you know, my era of New York, so, and he's like, that's why you like the movie? I was like, yeah, before, like, it was gentrified, and Soho was scary, and you know.
I definitely love the aesthetic. It's so pretty to look at.
Yeah, and I like crappy New York movies of that period. You know, I love all the Head and Lauder, like Brain Damage and all those movies, you know, and it shows New York of the 70s and 80s, and that's, you know, that's all gone now. So it sounds like you and I both worked at Playboy TV, right?
You and I? You did too?
Yeah, I did. I did. I worked in Post, and I worked at the Andreita studio.
Oh, nice.
So I worked on Seven Lives Exposed. I was just an editor on that show. Yeah,
so I knew that. A lot of my friends were on that.
Yeah, you did. I know you did one of the reality shows. They were around the same time, like around 2002, right?
Yeah, they wanted me to pick one or the other, and I went with the foursome because it was quote unquote real. But you know, I kept it as real as I possibly could, because I went in when I first moved here, which was around that time. Like, I went on all the reality shows and was like absolutely real. I didn't realize how not real you're supposed to be. And that actually ended up working really well for foursome, because they were about to kick me off because I was like, no, I will not do that. That's not how I act, and blah, blah, blah. But then luckily, I ended up actually having a crush on one of the dudes on the show, so it all worked out.
Oh.
I dated him for a while after that.
Yeah, I mean, the people were really cool. I loved working there. It was really great. I had some good times, you know, working there.
How long did you work there?
Till about 2007, when porn became easily available on the internet.
Yeah, a lot of change right around then.
Yeah, it changed a lot. And then, you know, Playboy sort of kind of went under. I mean, they were still doing night calls and stuff, but a lot of it went under.
Yeah, they started actually producing porn, because I went into hardcore myself after that. And I was shocked. They, like, brought me in to shoot actual Playboy porn. I'm like, I thought you guys didn't do that.
Well, they owned Vivid, Hotnet, and Hot Zone.
You know? I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, so, you know, they kept the Playboy brand as this very, like, wholesome American, you know, just boobs. But then they owned all the XXX stuff. What I used to do in the dub room was I would cut down, you know, the XXX for the editors to sound. But my funniest story there was, my daughter is your age, so she just turned 40, and she came to visit me. It was like in 2002, so she wasn't a kid, but me and her dad and her are all in the dub room, and, you know, there's 20 monitors all showing various porn things, and my daughter just looks at us and is like, oh my God, I'm watching porn with my parents.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, when you're around it all the time, you don't even, it doesn't mean anything,
right? I
know, right?
You don't do it.
Yeah.
My kid was so used to all my stuff. She's like, doesn't even faze us.
Yeah, just whatever. It's not, it's, you know, when everyone tells you see something that's interesting, you're like, oh, that's cool. And most of the time it's just, eh. Yeah.
Exactly. You get so just like numb to it. I'd be on set and like people would come visit me on set and they'd be like, wait, you realize people are like banging right next to us and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I forget about all that, and like running around naked and whatever, and it's just so normal to me. I'm like, hey, come in and have pizza. They're like, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine, you know, as long as you're comfortable doing it, you're not, you know, being forced to do it, it's your choice.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's, you know, and a lot of the women I knew, like Christy Canyon and Ginger Lynn and stuff, I mean, they enjoyed their work. They were, you know, they made good livings. They enjoyed it. They were.
Yeah, I mean,
know.
And Christy Kane is still at it, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen her in quite a while. I mean, the last time I ran into Ginger Lynn was at one of the Monster Paloozas or Monster Mania, one of the ones in Cherry Hill. Because she does the Rob Zombie movies now. And that was last time
she still does,
her a couple years ago.
She has a site and stuff. I worked with her when I was working. So they've been in it for a long time.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're into it. They do it. They, you know, I remember it too. It's funny because we'd work in the dub room, and the dub room was right down the hall from the radio studio. And, like, you know, they'd be interviewing someone, and then the executives would come running down the hall because they end up giving a blowjob to whoever they were interviewing, and the executive was like, no, they can't do that. And it's like, they're porn stars. What do you expect them to do? So, how are you enjoying your horror celebrity?
I definitely don't even think of it that way. I'm just Joe Bob's cheerleader.
And that's I think that's a good spot for you, you know, because he can be sort of curmudgeonly. I love Joe Bob, and I've always loved Joe Bob since, like, the early days and everything. But he can be a little,
I
like,
know, you made a film that I want to, like, see and know all about. Like, he's just an amazing person. So anyone else that's supporting him, like, I want to support them, too, because he's just amazing. We should get the word out.
And he's so funny. It's like, I couldn't believe he didn't watch the film. I felt like he hated me because he didn't like the film.
He doesn't watch anything that he's in or on or whatever. He had never seen any of his Monster Vision stuff. I pull up his IMDb in front of him to, like, ask him about stuff, and he's like, put down the screen. I can't see it. I'm like, what? It's like, it's literally just a list of films you've done. He's like, if anything's wrong or anything, it's going to drive me crazy. So it's like, he doesn't watch anything with himself at all. You'll notice, like, his IMDb picture is, like, half of the side of his face or something. Like you can't even tell it's him. It's crazy.
It's so funny. Yeah, he's really
lucky.
It's like
this, I finally, like, made him watch a little bit of the playback from Last Drive-In, and then he'll, like, chuckle at himself. He's like, yeah, I did good. It's like, aw, see? You should watch more often. But then he, like, tries to make me watch myself, and I'm like, well, no, we're not doing that either. So I get it. He's like, I've never even seen any of my porn or anything. He's like, oh, have you seen this? No, I'm not going to. Turn it off.
Yeah, well, I can get that. That might be more difficult. But, I mean, I mean, he's got such a weird split because there's John Bloom and then there's Joe Bob Briggs. And so Joe Bob Briggs seems like this really, like, you know, character who would, but then you talk to him and it's not Joe Bob Briggs, it's John Bloom, and he's really humble and doesn't, you know, and so it's like, it's kind of a weird, like, I'm not quite sure how to, you know, in my brain to put that together there. I'm like, I don't know how this works for you, but
yeah,
whatever
it should
he
be
does,
a minute,
it's brilliant.
Like, off camera, he's just kind of, you know, cool and chill and quiet. But then as soon as you go on camera, it's like the Joe Bob comes out and it's like, I freak out. I'm like, ah, not Joe Bob mode. Like, it's so intimidating and loud and fucking obnoxious.
I know. It's so weird. It's like this totally
different
personality.
It's like he turns on a light, like, just as soon as he gets in that mode, and it's so different.
Huh. That's really interesting. Yeah, because I, you know, I met him at a couple of cons and tried to talk to him, and it was like, I'm not, maybe he doesn't like me because he's being so reserved and stuff.
He is exactly reserved is a great word for it until he's in Joe Bob mode, and then so not.
So this is such a fun gig for you, though. I mean, you must be having
a
blast.
Oh my God, it's
getting. Are there any films that you haven't, you know, learning about while you're working on the show, or?
Summer coming up, so I can't say it, but, like, the formula now is like, when we do the double features, I'm supposed to pick one that's a cosplay and one that's a male girl, so I've had to actually watch ahead of time some that I hadn't seen before to get the cosplay right, and I'm grateful for that. I'm like, I would have never watched this movie ever if it weren't for you, and I didn't hate it. That's pretty cool. offhand, I can't think of one that I can mention, because, like, all the ones in the marathon I had seen already. But going back and remembering, like, The Changeling, like, I wouldn't have rewatched that, and I appreciated it more this go around than when I first tried to watch it, because it was, like, really slow, not my usual style, but I rewatched it for him and with him, and it was like, oh, okay, I can appreciate this now.
What are your favorite horror films, like, top three off the top of your head?
My favorite ever is Scream. Second favorite is for sure Friday 4. Both of those are my favorite films of any genre. And then third, probably Hello, Mary Lou.
Oh, wow. Interesting choices. Okay. So more like
Joe Bob doesn't agree. Joe Bob thinks Scream is like the death of the slasher genre. So I'm hoping we can show that so I can put him in his place.
Well, I mean, really, I haven't watched it yet because I was in Toronto all week, but they just did Deathgasm, which is one of my favorite films, recent films, so I'm looking forward to watching that tonight.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
That's such a great film. I love that film so much. I have a T-shirt, and I wrote to Jason Lee Howden as soon as I saw it and was like, this is an amazing film. I love this so much, and kept telling everyone they had to watch it because it's very, like, Evil Dead kind of.
Completely,
prosthetic, and, You know, and I met
the drummer or something from Axe Slasher at one of Joe Bob's appearances, and we're hoping to get him on the show. It didn't work out, but we got to read a letter that he wrote on the show. Spoiler, I guess, if you haven't seen it. But he was so excited. It was so cute. And then, like, the writer and director were watching, but they couldn't see it, you know, but they were following Twitter and stuff. It's just amazing to have that interaction and then all these people to see how much people appreciated their work. It was That was a pretty cool experience.
Well, I mean, I think that's what you guys are doing. You're like, it's, you know, you're bringing, you know, these films to people, you know, who may not know them. I mean, you know, the new generation might not know about the older classics, and some of the older folks might not know about the new things.
Exactly. So, you know, I love kind of that. Like, both The Changeling and Deathgasm got, like, this is my first time watch from, like, so many people, and I was so happy, and people seem to really love Deathgasm, and they hadn't even heard of it, and that's crazy to me. So it's awesome to be able to introduce people to stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember when they when you guys screened Basket Case, and people were like, "Oh my god, this crazy movie, Basket Case!"
Oh my god, I can't believe people hadn't heard of Basket Case. That's crazy.
I know. Oh my god, like, and I know Kevin Van Hintrick has said the only movie he wants to do is Basket Case 4. So he wants to play, like, the older Belial.
Oh, gosh, I hope it happens.
So, he says he's writing it. So, if anyone out there has money
awesome.
And wants to fund it.
I will kick the heck out of it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So, do you have any, like, horror stars that you want to meet or have met or any squee moments you want to talk about?
I think I've met, like, everyone I've dreamed of that's still around anyway, because it's just, I live in LA, so there's, like, so much going on always, but, like, some of the biggest wee moments, besides when I first met Joe Bob, which was, like, insanity, was Barbara Steele, like, getting to meet her, I'm so glad.
Oh, my God. I love her.
She wanted an Uber ride. She's like, "Can someone help me get a ride home?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can do that." Barbara Steele will help you get home. It's amazing, and I get to see all these people, like, they're real people, and it's just still an insane thing to me. All the guests that we have, Barbara Crampton, like, we had dinner with her before we shot, and it was just like she was sitting next to me and ordering tacos with me. I'm like, this is so weird. I've loved you forever. I can't eat right now. Melissa Rowe, like, the first time I met her, like, it was insanity. Like, and she was like, "Oh, I love your clothes." And she, like, grabbed my shoes to wear on the show and stuff. I'm like, Melissa Rowe just borrowed my shoes. That's cool.
She's really sweet. She's so sweet.
She is amazing. I didn't know she was going to be on, like, when we did the marathon. They picked us both up at the hotel, and she walked out. I'm like, oh. Are you kidding me? And we had to, like, ride in the van together. I'm like, I can't handle this already. Like, this is already too much for my brain to comprehend.
Yeah.
I hadn't even, gone onto the Joe Bob part yet.
this is like, the dream job. You just, like...
Seriously. And then, oh, God, when I got to bring Michael Berryman, his little doll, his face just, like, killed me. He was so excited. He had seemed kind of stoic and scary until then, and then I brought out the little doll, and there's, like, stills of it. He just had the biggest smile on his face. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
So, who do you want to meet? Is there anyone you haven't met yet that you...
I really can't think of anybody offhand because I speak it out. I go to cons and have people on my bucket list, like, who I need to meet, and I feel like I pretty much have done that. But I still get freaked out when I see them and talk to them for any length. Like, you know, I meet them and be like, "Hi, you're amazing," and then go away. So, like, to have longer conversations would kind of be the goal now, I guess.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, you know? Like, it was like that with Joe Bob the first couple of times. Like, you know, the first time I met him was at the Nighthawk screening, you know, in Brooklyn before the Shudder thing happened. So I just ended up hanging out with him and the Shudder people, and he was really chill, you know? And then the Shudder thing blew up, you know, he broke the internet and it blew up. And so the next couple times he was much more reserved. So I was like, I don't know if he likes me. Maybe he doesn't, you know.
Oh, no. He's overwhelmed by the response. It's crazy. He's like, I've been doing this show, like his redneck show, for like so many years and no one gave a shit. And now I like do it every weekend. And everybody acts like it's the greatest thing. I don't understand. But it's awesome. And I'm so glad he gets to to see that reaction.
Everybody's really just happy he's back. I mean, it's,
I know,
you know, there's this
I
whole
love
community.
He did not believe in it at all. He was like, no one's going to care. Stupid internet. Like, they don't need me anymore. Like, we need you, dude, always. And the very first night as it was happening, I was like, dude, you are not going to believe, like, the response. And he was just like, oh, well, that's nice. Like, he didn't really get it. So glad people were watching. He was actually mad because we were like, the internet broke. That's fucking rad. Do you understand? Like, that's because so many people are trying to watch. He's like, does that mean people can't see it? This is terrible. Like, he just really wanted people to be able to watch the show. I'm like, worry about that later. Be happy they're tuning in.
Yeah, he wrote that piece about, you know, that shouldn't be important that the internet broke. That's, you know, you work hard on the show and you want people to see it.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, Joe Bob, it means, like, we love you and we're so happy to see you.
Yes, I was so happy to know. Like, and I was just like, that's when all the tweeting thing, I wasn't really planned to tweet during the show, but because it broke down, everybody's like, what's going on? And I was like, so happy people were watching, like, just hold on, we're trying to fix it, and like trying to get the word out. And then it just kept going from there, and it became this, like, everyone talking. And so, like, I ended up being like, I was just supposed to do the mail, like, off camera, or, you know, like, normal stuff or whatever. And then it just became like, hey, let's just tweet this all the time and keep that vibe going. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect for him, because he needs someone to sort of, you know, who's, you know, savvy, you know, with the social media and can do that, because he doesn't want to really do that. So this is perfect for you, you know?
It is, and I'm so glad I can help him with it, because now he gets, like, so much mail, and I love being able to especially make sure he doesn't miss any of the, like, really sweet, there's so many touching fan letters. I'm like, you have to pay attention to this one right now, like, because someone get lost for a while, you know, but it's like this one.
I mean,
is just,
he's brought horror to, like, generations of people, and not only just horror, but, like, all the information about the horror films, like,
I know, you know, and like, he's, like, seriously our teacher, and that's super important.
So, can I ask you how you managed to get in Twitter jail twice?
I honestly don't know. I don't understand it. It's like all of a sudden they decide I'm tweeting too much, even though, like, during the marathons I did the same thing and they didn't care. But the first week someone said maybe it was the content, because it was all, like, shunting and, like, orgies and stuff. And, like, maybe they thought you were a porn bot. Like, okay, I can see that. But then, like, they were so kind and got me out quickly when people were doing the free Darcy and whatever. Like, in 20 minutes, it was back to normal and it was all good. So I, like, wrote them a couple of times and, like, so let's make sure that doesn't happen again. I'm not a bot. It's all good. And then, bam, they did it again, and they didn't fix it as quickly this time. So I don't know if they are going to or not. But Joe Bob was trying to, like, he couldn't remember his login for his Twitter. It's like, it just always stays there. I don't know how to do it. So, like, we're going to get that figured out so that if I get locked out again, I just get to take over his account. So that actually, like, I'm slightly looking forward to it now. It's like, ha, ha, ha. Now I can put out the Halloween 3 rules, and it'll be coming from you.
Oh my God.
So we will figure it out. But it was so funny. He's like, here, my password. And I actually got locked out of his account trying to, like, figure out the password. And I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah, so why? So you think it's partially content, partially, like, just the amount?
Well, I thought it was until it happened again. There's no way the content this time. Well, I guess I was talking about dildos during Death Cab. they claim it's because they think I'm a bot, possibly, with their, like, algorithms and so many. And what's funny is, like, the limit is, like, 5,000 a day or something. Like, there's no fucking way I tweeted 5,000 tweets. I guess it's possible because retweets count.
But I wonder if if they count retweets, because if it's retweets,
they do,
probably. Oh, so that's what it is. So,
but I swear, I was doing
you
the same thing during the marathon. The show is popular.
You just have to stop being so awesome.
I'll work on that.
So, is there anything you want to say to women horror fans, like, or women who like horror, that, you know, any advice or, you know, any thoughts?
I don't know. I don't really look at it any differently. Like, I look forward to the day when women in horror is not an unusual thing, you know?
Well,
so,
I mean, there's definitely more of us making it now.
Yeah, that's freaking rad.
I mean, I think
we've
always been a big audience, but I think there's more now women directors and writers and, you know, So,
and that's amazing, you know, and that definitely needs to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you might want to do that one day. Or,
I don't know how much he wants to talk about, but I am. Joe Bob has encouraged me to. He's got some production of stuff coming up, and I'll be able to talk about it a lot later, but yeah, I got my stuff coming up, and I'm excited because I'm much more of a behind-the-scenes person, so I love being in charge of making a film, because I mentioned earlier, like, a lot of the films I get asked to act in are not ones I would want to watch, so
you
I'm
produce,
happy to be able to
or...
make something that I'm producing and writing, so
brilliant.
I'm happy to be able to show something that I'm actually proud of for once.
Yeah, and please keep me posted. I'm happy to, like, you know, promote the hell out of you, because I my whole thing is sort of promoting other women in fandom and creators.
That's
and
amazing.
I run a couple of film festivals of women's work.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would, you know, I'll promote the crap out of it, so keep me posted.
Thank you.
And, you know, anything you want to, you know, promote or you're working on, you know, and you're proud of, please let me know. I'm happy to share. You were so sweet at the con. I really appreciated it. You're getting all dressed.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I kept you waiting for nothing. Oh, God.
No, it was fine. It was only a few minutes, you know, and it was so funny. You're like, I don't like my makeup. And you're like, you're gorgeous. Like,
well, thank you. But, you know, sometimes it ain't right.
I understand. It's, you know, it's not what other people see. It's how you feel, right?
It's true. Plus, I am really camera shy despite the porn stuff, so it takes a lot for me to be, like, be able to speak on camera. So I was like, don't do that to me right now.
Oh,
I didn't
speak
or anything.
I think it's hard, especially con brain on a Sunday, you know, to get your thoughts right. I mean, especially after karaoke the night before. No one was thinking clearly. I mean, because I wasn't
get to do any of that stuff because he had booked it. It was the first weekend, the premiere of the series.
Right.
But he booked so much publicity stuff, like back to back to back to back. Like, I was just working like the whole time. So,
you didn't even get to go
and
party. I was
pretty brain fried by Sunday.
Yeah, because if I'd have had my wits about me, I would have been like, I can just put my hand over the lens and we could do the interview
now.
Well,
that would have
so.
Made me feel silly and I would have gotten it together. But whatever, we're here now. So, yay.
We get to talk now and that's fine. Yeah. Anyway, so thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me. And I'll probably get this episode up in the next week or so.
Awesome. It's completely my pleasure.
And if you want to DM me an email so I can send you stuff.
For sure, I'll do that right now.
You know, besides Twitter.
Okay. There's life outside Twitter. What?
Just in case you're in Twitter jail again, and I can't meet you.
Oh,
okay.
Very good point.
So I'm gonna watch.
All right, I will be.
I'll let you know how it goes.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Gurr and Fangirl. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to visit our website, www.squeeprojects.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel for lots more squee as fuck pop culture content. Thanks for joining us this week on the Gurr in Fangirl. If you enjoyed our show, be sure to visit our website, www.squeeprojects.com, where you can subscribe to the podcast and our YouTube channel for lots more squee as fuck pop culture content.